Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for listening to the Lakers Fast Break Podcast, part of the Hoopheads Podcast Network. Check out all their awesome basketball shows today at hoopheadspod.com. Another episode of the Lakers Fast Break Podcast. It's Gerald Glassford coming right back at you here from Lakers Fast Break, Pop Culture Cosmos, Inside Sports Fantasy Football, and of course Game Source. Everyone out there, just thank you so much for listening to all of our great shows. And if you can, please give us that 5-star review wherever you get your podcasts. Plus, if you could like, share, subscribe, follow, or do whatever it is that you can to support us right here at Lakers Fast Break, Pop Culture Cosmos, Game Source, Inside Sports Fantasy Football, of course, the great folks right there for you at Lakerholics.com. Go ahead and check out what the number one Lakers blogger, Laker Tom, who is part of our Lakers live watch party right there for you on playback.tv/LakersFastBreak, which you can join us all the time. Plus also as well, Jamie Sweet with his 5 Things articles. Go ahead and check out what both those guys are doing today at Lakerholics.com. Plus also as well, LakersBall.com. There's Ox1947 right there. He is at LakersBall.com. And also as well, if you want your lawn transformed into something so much more beautiful than it is today and you're in the Southern California area, Simblades with the Y.com. Plus also as well, our good friends at the Hoopheads Podcast Network. And a big shout out to some friends that I made today at downtown Las Vegas at the Run It Back store. That's right. If you're in downtown Las Vegas, please go ahead and check out the Run It Back store. If you like your vintage clothing, if you like your vintage toys, action figures, video games, and vintage Lakers stuff that's there, go ahead and check out what they're doing today at Run It Back. Nice little small place with a whole bunch of vintage great stuff that's there for you right there in downtown Las Vegas, right across from the El Cortez. It is the Run It Back store. I wanted to give those guys a big shout out for everything that they do as far as providing some great Lakers vintage stuff right there for Run It Back. And if you could support all of that, it is sincerely appreciated. Zanger Stein's already started. Welcome back, Zanger Stein. Always great to have you here, Z. Doesn't like Darvin's starting lineup and ending lineups. I don't know. Just again, the reliance is so much like Vogel. Just that's something obviously we could talk about. But let's get to the positives first off, and that's the Lakers' first half, really strong, coming high off the momentum from the big Milwaukee win. Would there be a crash and fall in Washington? No. Right off the bat, they made their point. And maybe it was just because of the fact that 3 minutes in, Bradley Beal did get hurt and was taken back to the locker room, which kind of sucked the life out of the Washington Wizards. But you know what? That didn't stop Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis, who is on a tear like no one else currently in the NBA, really guided the Lakers forward, especially the fact that they got off to a 68-50 halftime lead, kept it strong in that now famous third quarter, 37-31, kind of faltered in the fourth quarter, with a big comeback from none other than Kyle Kuzma. But the Lakers held strong because they got Anthony Davis right there scoring and scoring and scoring. And he ended up with a fantastic game, one of the best of his career. 55 points, 17 rebounds, and 3 block shots. LeBron James with an, oh, by the way, 29 points, 8 rebounds, and 6 assists. 5 turnovers, so kind of made up for the 0 turnovers that he got in Milwaukee. Lonnie Walker, 7-10, 4-4 from behind the arc. and 20 points for him. And the Lakers pulled away from the Washington Wizards after they got a little bit close inside of 10, 130 to 119. But for all instances, this game was over in the third quarter. The Lakers, again, outstanding performance by AD. Just unfortunately for the injury for Bradley Beal, feel sorry about what's going on there, but he was questionable, so he could have come back into the game. So it doesn't sound like something is too serious, but that didn't stop AD from having a tremendous game. And here today to talk about it, first man up, first man here. Good man indeed. You got to go ahead and check him out when he's out of the traffic in Toronto. He's the magic man, the madman from Toronto. The magic man indeed, Sean Grice. Sean, great to have you here. Another fantastic game for Anthony Davis.
Absolutely, Gerald. I know a lot of Laker fans will likely quibble about Coach Ham's lineup there in the fourth, but this game was about Anthony Davis. I'd just like to say that I woke up this morning and I just had this funny feeling that he was just going to go off today. So I let the Podfather and the rest of the gang know. I thought he was going to go for 40. I didn't in my wildest dreams think he'd go for 55, but look, his career high is 59. He did that as a Pelican. This is his career high as a Laker.
Yes.
It's probably the easiest 55 points he's ever going to score.
What did he just score? 40 by within three quarters, correct?
He scored 41 through three. He had 41 and 14 going into the fourth. So he had a 40. He dropped a 40 bomb before the fourth quarter even started. It was a dominant performance, 55 points on 30 shots. He shot 22 of 30 from the field, over 73%. Again, I think he might have started breaking a sweat there halfway through the fourth, but that was probably the first time all game that he did. He was scoring at ease wherever he wanted. His last, I'll have to look it up, but I would say of his last 20 three-point attempts, I'm guessing he's shooting around at least 37%, possibly higher. It just looks better for whatever reason. And he's on a tear right now. It's like no matter what sport you're playing, it's just if you could get the ball in the hands of the guy who's just tearing it up, just get him the ball, no matter what.
Well, I'll tell you what, just a great game indeed by Anthony Davis. Just it definitely could not ask for anything more from him. Just he's on a tear right now. Just fantastic, fantastic play. Also here today to talk about today's game, good man indeed. You got to go ahead and check him out today at LakersBall.com. Plus, also as well, you got to go ahead and check out what he's doing today for your lawn if you're in the Southern California area at SimBlades, SimBlades with a Y.com. It is Joe Soro. Joe, again, you're the first on the train to stay on the train, and you're leading the train right now because AD is rolling right now.
Well, we know the game. We said this ad nauseum during the summer. For this team to be successful, AD has to be Sean. Sean, say it again.
Special.
This is special AD. This is not really even MVP candidate AD. This is transcendent player. So Sean mentioned this is the easiest 55 he's going to get, which is not that far off from what we've been saying for about a week and a half now. He looks like he's not even trying. And when that is happening, that means you have a controlled AD, a lethal AD, and a less chance of AD getting injured AD. You have that, and you might as well just pack it in. And LeBron's dropping 30 as a second option. Westbrook's doing dimes like Mark Jackson in his prime. Lonnie Walker not missing threes. You know, again, at the end of the day, guys, this team is getting it together. And I'm not going to put a lot of blame on the lineup in the fourth quarter. I think we're still stuck in that old way of thinking the NBA used to be. Yeah. I was watching it right around the 3 minute mark, or I should say 3 minutes left in the third quarter. I was itching at that. Is there a chance we can get both LeBron and AD to sit the whole fourth? And then this little thing in my head goes, Joe, you need to get that out of your damn head.
You knew that wasn't going to happen, never, Joe.
It's like a pitcher pitching a complete game. It will happen, right? It will happen in spurts. But the days of you, the star, having a 20-point lead, a 15-point lead, you took your team to that spot going into the fourth, you're not going to sit the whole fourth. Those days are gone.
What is the Joe Sorrell rule? Joe Sorrell rule? 20 points and in?
20 points. I mean, you saw 29 points evaporate in, what, 8 minutes? It's over. So
they took that foot off the gas, and, yeah, that was all she wrote.
Now, if you use that as a positive thing for statistical purposes, if that doesn't happen, we don't see a double nickel by AD. No.
Yeah.
And also those who have been watching, because most of our crowd could be young and don't really remember the early 2000s and beyond. Some of our guests are young. So just to give you guys an idea of why you've seen more statistic, you know, what used to be anomalies, which is triple doubles, let's say mid-tier to high-tier type players getting 30s and 40s all day, every week. More possessions, more threes, more skill being taught in terms of shooting. So that's what these guys are doing. All their energy is going towards shooting. So that's what you have here, guys. You have a team now that's going to likely have to play four quarters to win a game. No longer will you be able to drop a 20-point lead and then rest after that. But anyways, the game... I don't know if the game would have changed if Bradley Beal had stayed in the game, maybe a little, but I feel like the Lakers are on somewhat of a mission here. And what a way to start out. They were 0-6 the first six road games, and now they won four in a row.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing. I think Westbrook's still making some ill-advised mistakes. I'd say that's probably the only negative that I can feel from the game. I'm not so worried about it in these kind of games. I'm more worried about it if this team should make a run here, that Westbrook's going to have to reel that in, because those are devastating mistakes at the wrong time. And that's what kind of helped their run too a little bit, was his mistakes. Because, you can blame Darvin Ham putting in Reeves and that and all that. No, I think a lot of it is those turnovers that turn into threes and twos, and – you know, that was the result in terms of them getting back into the game.
Well, just amazing performance today by Anthony Davis. Couldn't ask for anything more, as the Lakers now move to 10-12 with a 130-119 victory over the Washington Wizards. You know what? I know that the first thing I heard from John Ireland today was talking about how the Lakers are within three games of fourth place in the Western Conference. The other night when we were on with the Lakers Fast Break, Sean Grice also mentioned how close we are to the upper ranks of the Western Conference. And I don't want to go too far too fast. I'm just trying to get us into the playoff mix first, and then we'll go from there. So let's go ahead and talk.
But this team is special, Gerald. This team is special.
Yes, special seems to be the team word between all of us here. But AD is playing really special right now. But also here today to talk about today's game, good man indeed. You got to go ahead and check him out on YouTube. Right there for you. Can't avoid the channel name because it's right there, plastered all over us, right over there. It's John McCallion. John, great to have you here, my friend. If you like what we're doing, please give us that thumbs up and subscribe. Yep. Not only
hit the like button, y'all. Hit the like button.
Hit the like button and also subscribe to not only our channel, but John McCallion's as well. John, great game by AD. What a way to follow it up. I was worried about a letdown. You thought, early evening Sunday game, you're not sure if where it's at. Looks like one of those trap games that you're not sure if the Lakers coming off the big high. Teams have a tendency to go ahead and play down to their competition or play down after a big emotional victory like that. That didn't happen today at all.
Yeah, I agree. It's funny you brought that up because I had the exact same thoughts coming into this game. I'm like, you know what? They got a big win in Milwaukee. Hopefully they don't play down to, you know, Washington. Who's not a terrible team, but they're not a great team either. So I'm not going to lie. I got a little bit worried, you know, in the fourth quarter. You know,
Kuzma lighting it up.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, snap. Here we go. Here's Kuzma's revenge game. But, you know, I had a little bit of deja vu. I thought it was going to end up, you know, like Monday's game against Indiana. But thankfully, you know, Darvin Ham put AD back in, and he just, you know, continued where he left off. He had a monster game. I think his stat line was 55, 10, and 4, 10 rebounds, 4 blocks. So, and this is the AD we've been waiting for, you know, since, like, you know, since we won the championship. You know, obviously he hasn't been getting hurt, but at the same time, you know, when he was out there, I think he was worried about, you know, deferring to LeBron and Westbrook because those are older, more experienced, you know, pretty much, you know, guaranteed Hall of Famer. So he's, you know, he said, you know what, I don't want to piss them off. I don't want to upset them. So let me take a step back. And LeBron said, no, bro, this is your team. You got to take control. Now that he has that confidence, you know, it shows because he's been playing like a number one out there for sure.
Absolutely. I just let you know today's game, 55 points, 17 rebounds, and 3 block shots. Just
thank you.
Incredible game. And then, you know, an oh, by the way game for LeBron James, 29 points, 8 rebounds, and 6 yeah. assists. But just a great game overall. Sean, you wanted to interject? Go ahead, my friend.
Yeah, absolutely, Gerald. It's not only the efficiency at what he's doing, he's changed the way he's doing it. It's like an apex predator who, for whatever reason, has environmental or genetic factors somehow blocking the way they eat. And so they have to find a secondary way to get that meal. And he's just found a way because now it's, I'm going to eat you in the low post. I'm going to eat you above the rim. And there's nothing that you can do to stop me because I'm so assertive now and have
on the perimeter too, Sean, on the perimeter too.
Yeah, exactly, Joe. I mean, it was earlier in the season. I remember he had Zubats out on him and I was thinking, Anthony, why don't you put the ball on the floor and take him to the hole? And he didn't do it. He took like a 20 footer. Now he take him to the hole and posterize him. It's a switch that's been flipped here. It's very wonderful to see, and I'm happy for him because now everybody who called him street clothes and all this stuff, they can wear the leash now, and he's going to walk you down the street.
This is Raphael from NBADraftJunkies.com, and you are listening to the Lakers Fast Break.
Check out what's been going on with the Pop Culture Cosmo Show and the PCC Multiverse.
If you have a better movie in the can, why is that not the movie that you released in the first place?
I would say it's more culturally relevant than The Simpsons and Rick and Morty. Like, it has become a staple of American entertainment.
I think Dragon Age 4 is carrying the future of BioWare on its shoulders.
That's the Pop Culture Cosmo Show.
And the PCC Multiverse.
Catch our shows on Worldwide Radio 7 days a week and wherever you get your podcasts. Needing an edge for your fantasy football team? Listen to the guys at Inside Sports Fantasy Football for insight that will help you reach your league championship. That's Inside Sports Fantasy Football. Check it out today on your favorite podcast outlet. Well, again, just an outstanding performance. Joe, when he's lighting it up like this, I know I just put in the chat everybody's thoughts right now as far as AD for MVP. Probably still wouldn't become MVP simply because of the fact that he's got a 10-12 record. But I think right now he's lighting it up even more than Tatum, even more than Curry, even more than Jokic. Right now, there's no one better in the NBA playing the game of basketball right now.
We discussed if the Lakers indeed stay healthy and play the way they've been playing, there's a very good chance they could finish the last 60 games 40-21 or 41-20. Right now, we're at 60 games left, correct? It's 10-12. It's a possibility. Likely, we don't know yet. I would need another month or so to really garner that because I'm going to say that the Lakers desperately need to get two more players here in some capacity. And I'm not talking about some buyout has been. I'm talking if they're going to get a buyout guy, I'm hoping it's somebody that still has some left in the tank and works with this particular team. But the Lakers need two more players. If this isn't indeed going to be the AD we're going to see, we're going to need two more players, preferably a big and someone who can shoot or two that can shoot. And let's see if this thing can go where it needs to go.
Petting My Cat says Joe's backtracking from his 50 win statement on the last podcast.
I'm not backtracking. I'm saying there. We said that. Look, I didn't think AD was going to drop 55 tonight, and I didn't
no one
think
could have predicted that.
I didn't think he was going to drop 55. Just as comfortable as he's been dropping 38. 55, guys. I
want people to understand or try to how easy it was for him tonight. I was at the game last night with the Raptors and Magic, and OG Anunoby had to work his ass off to get 32 points. He was dripping sweat, tired. Coming out, and Anthony looked like it was just a day at the park. Honestly,
it was a warm up.
Yeah, it really was, John. Like normally, Anthony has like some sweat on him. He looked like, you know, he just basically toweled off from the shower or something. It was nothing. And to what the ease to which his he's getting his points. He was 22 of 30 from the field. I don't care who you are. That is really hard in the NBA on any night to shoot over almost 75% from the field and get, like Joe was saying, a double nickel. That is so hard to do. So hard.
He was so easy. Efficient tonight. He was so efficient. It wasn't even scary anymore. Now you're talking about Michael Myers, Jason Voorhees, Freddy Krueger, and John in his underwear.
Freddy Krueger or Freddy Cougar?
Well, there were times where Kristaps Porzingis did not want to go up with two hands.
He got frustrated. It's that one little spark that he had where he was dunking, and like he turned into Stu Lance was talking. He's like, dude, like play like that. This guy's killing you. And he had it for a spurt, right? And that's the difference, guys. The difference between the great ones and the spurts, you just got a little bit of a taste of what that is. Porzingis doesn't have the animal in him, right? Something that we've been talking about with AD not having, right? Does he have the animal in him to go after it? Now, we had seen it before. We had seen it for years in New Orleans, but he never really had any help there. We saw it during 2020. AD, everyone keeps saying bubble. It's like, dude, he was showing it that whole year. It wasn't just in the bubble. It's just that you paid attention more in the bubble because that's when the playoffs started. But this is the best AD, the last 11 games, that's ever been the AD. If this continues and we get some reinforcements, Laker Tom's going to predict a 16-0 playoff record. Watch. That's pretty weak comeback, John. I mean, that's something I would have said to you. Can you think of something original?
I was just picking back up what you said.
But once again, it's the Lakers fast break. The Lakers did win 130-119. I like the fact
I actually don't, but if it makes you feel better.
I actually like the fact that the Lakers have put out two games in a row above 130 and above.
Yes.
That means the tempo's going, the pace is high. The transition is there. I know Laker Tom and I were going back and forth on it. To me, the tempo and the transition is a very important, Sean, to what the Lakers need to do in order to get easier shots. Not necessarily layups all the time, just to get themselves in a better set because half court is still, there's still issues, ISOs, things of that nature. You can break that down all you want, but when the team goes up tempo, they're a lot better team.
100% Gerald, 100%. You know, we'd obviously like to see the, because we know that the 3-point shooting at some point is going to dip again. We'd like to see the half court defense and you know, playing for 24 seconds become more consistent, because that's where a lot of these opportunities are coming from. They definitely need to up the pace, no doubt about it. Once they get into the half court, you know, Anthony seems to just be running towards the basket, and you've got two guys running off in the wings. But you know, I understand what Tom was saying during the watch party, that during this 8-2 streak that we're on, that we're sixth, I think, in 3-point percentage overall.
I mean, that's not surprising, but I don't think that's going to stick.
I don't think that's sustainable, personally. I agree, Gerald. I just don't think with the roster we have that somehow we go from being one of the worst to being sixth all of a sudden. I think you know, there's not enough fluidity within the roster to suggest that, you know, that could work long term. They really do need to still evaluate making a move or two here to improve the shooting. Now, what I hope is that if you are looking at the Russ slant, that you take your time here, because this is an 8-2 run. It's 10 games is a small sample size, but that's basically 1/10 of the year. And so we've seen the Lakers at their best. This is the way, if we're going to compete for a championship and hold that trophy at the end of the year, this is the way to get it done.
But once again, it's the Lakers fast break. John McCallion, Magic Man, and Joe Soro, along with me, Gerald Glassford, thank you so much for watching and listening. The chat is going as we speak, both about the Lakers and also other things as well. John, I mean, this is awesome the way the Lakers are playing. This is totally a reverse of what we saw at the beginning of the season, which I know to you and I, who always think on maybe the harsher edge of the way the Lakers are playing, is really a surprise to, I think, you and I, and maybe Jamie as well, most of all. I think when it comes to the Lakers, you know, if they can sustain this and they can actually go ahead and get involved and get interested and get in right in the middle of the mix in the playoff race by the time this road trip is over.
Yeah, while I was watching a game, I was actually trying to think of a player not named LeBron, AD, Westbrook, or Austin Reeves that was giving consistent production. And I couldn't think of one, to be honest. You know, Pat Bev has been underwhelming, to say the least. You know, I get it. He's not the 6-1 wing that, you know, Rob Pelinka hoped he would be. Shocker. I agree with Sean. This team needs help. And if they're going to go far for, you know, over the long haul, they need help right now. You know, they're showing that, you know, they want to win, and they're winning. Now, not only are they talking the talk, but they're also walking the walk. And, you know, if this isn't a sign for Rob Pelinka to get the current roster some help, I don't know what is.
Exactly. They do need more. I mean, tonight you were able to get by off of AD's incredible game, LeBron's great supporting game at almost 30 points. And then, of course, you know, you had Lonnie Walker hitting 4-4 from three. But, Joe, when it comes to what we're seeing, this to me clearly shows that you're not going to always have nights like this where AD is going to drop 55. They need support from the rest of the team. And when they don't get it, like, you know, nice tonight, you can't always rely on two or three players to go ahead and get the job done. It takes a team effort each and every time for most games outside of today.
Well, we're not talking 55 a night, but I think we keep saying the same thing for the last week. We can't expect this. We can't expect that. And all of a sudden AD has a career week.
Yeah.
Career almost 2 weeks. No. I expect AD to drop 25 to 30 a game now.
That I expect, but when it comes
– Well, and the thing is, the reason his 25 and 30 are different than, let's say, a Kuzma 25 and 30. AD is not only scoring a lot and getting a lot of rebounds and having a lot of statistical achievements, it's the efficiency of that. And if you remember what we said about how sometimes 2 points aren't 2 points. Sometimes the enormity of that particular 2 points or 3 point play can kind of deflate the opposing team's will. And AD was so dominant today, he pissed off Porzingis. Porzingis had more emotion today than I've ever seen him have. I've never seen him dunk and hang onto the rim like he was trying to break a tree branch. I'd never seen that before. And maybe if Porzingis had more of that, he would live up to his fourth overall pick. And that's the part where this right here starts to change for this, for the Lakers' opponents. And it happened in Milwaukee. It happened in Milwaukee. Milwaukee just kept playing, kept playing, kept playing. And they're like, dude, these guys are not going away. Like, there's a reason why I said Michael Myers, Freddy Krueger, Jason Voorhees.
I keep thinking you say Freddy Krueger instead of Freddy Krueger. I don't know why. Maybe you're just, you know.
Freddy who?
Freddy Krueger.
Yeah, it's Krueger.
Yeah, you keep, it sounds like you say Cougar. Like
Cougar?
Like you're hunting for a
cougar. You mean the ones that chase John around all day? No, I'm talking about Krueger.
Okay. I just want to make sure.
Okay. Crew. Like, okay. You know, crew.
Yeah,
and
I know.
And then Gurr.
Yeah. That's yeah. I just want to make sure.
Good. Don't interrupt me again.
Yes, Matt.
Anyways.
And I was being totally facetious, by the way.
You know, a lot of people don't know what facetious means. You know that, right? Didn't they teach you that in broadcasting school?
Our audience is intelligent, I will have you know. Ours is the most intelligent because they're here.
Well, I'm going to start calling you Gerald Costas.
I am the dean of the Lakers
Fast. Bob Costas, one time, I remember this because I was at the hotel I used to work. The hotel I worked at, I was a bellman driver. And it was the Denver Packers Super Bowl in San Diego. And Bob Costas used the word reticent in one of his spiels. And I looked at the guy next to him like, you know, 99% of the people don't know what that means. Anyways, we have to kind of sort of come down to earth a little bit too here. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, Joe, what you're saying there, I'm reminded of what Woody Harrelson said in True Detective, where he said, you know, I'm educated myself. I could throw around a lot of $10 and $20 words, too.
I need to see that first season. I hear it's an epic one.
Yes.
I got through, I think, 30 minutes of it, and then I veered off somewhere. But I do got to get to that, because I hear there's a lot of good dialogue between him and McConaughey.
Yes,
so I want to see that because I love both those guys. If the Lakers are playing like this, that means they're a very good team. They're supposed to beat the Washington Wizards by double digits at this point. If this is how they're going to play, they've shown that they can play a top two East team. Obviously, we saw that on Friday. So if this stays consistent, guys, I'm expecting wins, and I'm expecting wins against top-tier teams. Therefore, Rob Pelinka needs to figure out if he is going to do something to help this team become a title contender, because this team, as it's constructed, has a very good chance to make the playoffs at this point. But will they be title contenders? Not right now.
Yeah, that's why I'm trying to be a little bit cautious. I know everybody is really excited about what's going on. I want to put things in perspective. The Lakers are 10 and 12. They're still not even in the play-in running as of yet. They've got to go ahead and be consistent. Let's see how they do after this road trip. Let's see how they do come Christmas. Let's see where they're at the end of the year. If they're above 500 or even at 500, then to me, it's a whole new ball game, John. It's a whole new ball game where we think that the Lakers can now start competing. And if they get a couple of added players into the mix, they can really make some noise.
Yeah, really good point there. And, you know, if I can add something to that, I would say that, you know, a lot of the reason why we're winning right now is because, you know, LeBron, Westbrook, AD, and also Reams are pretty much carrying this team. You know, the rest of the team, not really. And that's why, you know, we really need help to, you know, beef up this roster going into the playoffs. So, yeah, I do see this team making the playoffs. But, you know, like Joe said, I don't really – you know, seeing going or see this team, this roster going far in the playoffs. So, you know, we need all the help that we can get. I don't know if it's, you know, DeMar DeRozan, but, you know, we need at least one solid wing and at least one, you know, at least semi-reliable shooter.
That's the thing, though, when it comes to him, he doesn't provide those. He's a scorer and a great right. scorer at that, but he doesn't play defense. And he's not an outside shooter that's going to stretch the defense at all. Sean?
Not at this point of his career, at least.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Gerald and John just both hit the nail on the head. You know, he's a very prolific scorer, and that can be helpful.
And Vucevic is only hitting 34%.
Yeah, exactly.
He's not the same player since he got traded from Orlando.
What the Lakers need is what Gerald described. They need a shooter and a defender, preferably. You would take the shooting over the scoring if you have the added dimension of the defense. 100%. 100% of the time. And most teams would make that call, too. You know, another scorer, that's great, but what this team really needs is to aid Anthony Davis a little bit on the perimeter so he's not working as hard when he's going east to west. We know what he can do north to south with his verticality and athleticism, but in order to take the next level and take the next step, the team really needs to improve defensively on the perimeter. And that requires, like Gerald was saying, that requires acquiring a player that has a dimension that is both a shooter and a defender.
Now, if you want somebody that can be a stretch five, we played one tonight. He's, you know, Porzingis is scoring better than he has almost at any point in time in his career, even if in his All-Star season, hitting 36%. He may not be the total answer for you. But, you know, I would take him over what we saw right now from Vucevic. I think Vucevic is really right now, his confidence wise, it's just not there right now.
Yeah, no. Look, Vooch is a very good player.
He was a very good player.
He's a good to above average right now. Gerald's correct. The problem with Vooch is he, like Gerald said, it's a confidence issue. And he could drop 25 a night, but he's also going to give up 25 to 31 on the defensive end. Gerald, again, is 100% correct. You take Porzingis over Vucevic if that's the choice to be made.
I know Miles Turner is probably the best option right now, but if you're, you know, whatever's going on with the Lakers in Indiana, obviously they've talked numerous times. Nothing's come out of it, Joe. And it just seems like that's been going around and around forever. At this point, you know, it either gets done or it doesn't. It just move on from it and move on to other things. But the Lakers, obviously, like you said, if they can just get moving on some trades here, you know, obviously we have to wait until the 15th for December when more players become eligible. Then in January 15th, when even more players become eligible, it seems like it's a good thing that the Lakers are winning all this, you know, all these games. But it also seems like it's just giving Rob an excuse to just delay, and delay even further.
Getting someone like Porzingis with this team would be a pretty big game changer.
As long as he's healthy, and he's staying healthy.
Correct, right now. As long as he's healthy. But that's always been the issue.
Yeah.
And then, of course, he's making, I think, $30 million a year, and then he's got a player option next year.
Yeah, so, but then if you trade Russ, then you could maybe pick up someone else. You know, maybe even bring Kuzma back. As far as
I am in a real quandary with Westbrook at the moment. I think he is great off the bench. He is giving that bench a spark. His passing is phenomenal. His rebounding is amazing. Mm-hmm. There is that like 5-6 minute stretch in each game though where he's making really bad decisions.
And we keep on stressing that having him during the game is great. Having him at the end of the games is not so great.
Yeah, it's a problem. And it's going to be a problem when you play the higher echelon teams that can bait him. We don't want to have that be an issue. So we're going to have to be very careful to see how that kind of turns out. You trade Westbrook for someone, let's say at this point, that is a surefire third guy. Like I'm telling you, you get him. It's like, yep, this is the guy that you want. Playing with these guys. Otherwise, you got to use the other assets to to try and get someone. I don't think we have enough money to send out for, let's say, a Porzingis, even though he'd be perfect playing center next to AD. Jeez, I you know, if you think Miles Turner's good, I think Porzingis would be even better, especially at the on the offensive end. And this is an offensive league, guys. As much as defense is important, I think we have enough defense, especially with AD at the as the anchor. Offense is really, I think, where we're going to want to concentrate on getting to improve the team so that the shooting's there, take advantage of LeBron's offense, and, of course, you know, drawing people away from AD because of the threat of scoring.
I think, Joe, I think you're onto something there. I think if they acquire a shooter or two, I think that's a good recepe. You know what you're going to get from AD, and you know what you're going to get from LeBron at this point. So if a third guy ends up scoring 25 or 30 points, that's just gravy.
And that's the thing. I think Blue Magic hit it best. Now, hear this guy. I don't know if you guys saw it in the chat, but Blue Magic pointed right there. Yes, he's playing well off the bench. Zangerstein did a great job of describing it. Yes. But is he playing at a $47 million well?
No one can.
No one can except AD and LeBron in his prime and
not coming off the bench.
Giannis, those are the special players. The special players that can play up to $47 million. But we can't hold that over his head because that's not
not on him. He made a good point he's playing well.
It's a fair point.
Well, there's gonna need to be some.
Is he playing up to his monetary?
There's gonna need to be some talks with Russell. Hopefully, Darvin Ham can do this. Where he needs to really, it's okay if he does it, I guess, against the Wizards.
On top of that, can you have a $47 million role player, which is what he is right now? He's playing great as a role player. He's playing great as a guy off the bench. He's playing great in those second and third quarters. He's playing great against those second team units. Is he playing at that level? That's the question that you guys got to ask yourself, because again, how much money he takes off your cap.
Well, the cap part is already over. I don't think we need to worry about that moment.
I think trading him could bring you the bonus that you're talking about.
I understand that in 2022, the narrative matters more than the fact. But the fact is that this team is playing excellent basketball right now, and I don't think just making a willy-nilly trade.
Hold on.
Okay. I think I would buy Palinka's reasoning if he says, I want to wait until the end of December.
Well, you have to wait until the middle of December in the first place.
Well, you have to anyway, but I think at this point with the way they've been playing, I think you have to wait well into Christmas and probably till the end of the year to really figure out what you want to accomplish.
But John and Joe have said it at best, filling out the end of that roster, because you see tonight.
I understand
it was basically the team was three players tonight.
Yes, I understand that.
What lackey keeps putting up these? I'm sorry, Sean, I got to say this.
No, go ahead, Joe.
What lackey keeps putting up these artificial dates? I want to find out who that is.
Well,
what do you mean wait till end of December? For who? For what? What are we waiting for?
Exactly. That's Sean, a lackey? Yeah, that's...
No. You're not what I'm saying.
That's my whole point. That's kind of my whole point is,
Zach Lowe? I think I read it with Zach Lowe, wasn't it? Or somebody like that? Or was that
Zangerstein brings up a great point.
Talking to DeRozan or something? I don't know.
But DeRozan, again, does he stretch the defense and does he play defense? The answer is no. Great score, but you already have great scorers on your team. The thing is, you need to stretch the defense, and he doesn't do that. Neither does Vucevic shooting 34%. Zangerstein said right now it's better to trade Pat Bev, and Schroeder into an either a stretch big or wing.
See, I think that's better.
But the problem is, how much do you have to add on top of it? Because the other team is not going to take all these players who are not playing well this season. None of those guys are playing well this season. Absolutely none of those guys are playing. They're all playing horribly. Why would you want them for the money, for the contract reasons? Yes, but they're going to ask for at least one, if not both, of those number one draft picks. So we get in right back into the situation with Indiana. At least Russell is playing well, and you can at least promote that fact. But with the other guys that are playing so poorly, you try to package them, and you know, you're going to, there are people, these other teams are going to ask for a lot more. Now it comes right back to a situation where they want, where the Lakers might have to bundle both of those picks once again with those guys. Go ahead, John.
Can I say,
of course, I had to get that off my chest because Zangerstein was putting that in there. And I know it's easy to dump and unload all these bad players that were playing so bad for the Lakers, but these teams,
it's all good.
Yeah.
I was just going to say that, you know, YouTube shows, you know, like us, you know, whether it's us, Lakers Nation, or whatever Lakers YouTube channels out there, we can discuss all day long whether, you know, Westbrook is living up to his contract or not, whether we should trade him or not. But, you know, the all honesty, the one that really makes the decision or tips the decision, whatever, is what can we get for Westbrook? Because, you know, if other teams want, you know, our picks and other stuff, and they're not willing to offer much, then, you know, our argument, our debate doesn't mean anything. So yeah, it's all about, you know, what market's out there for him.
Yeah, but then same thing goes for, you know, if you tried to package Nunn and Beverly, and
neither of those guys have a market value right now.
Yeah, they're not, because they're playing awful.
They're just contracts.
Yeah,
they both have the same reasoning on why someone would trade for him, though. It's just that Westbrook has more money. Yeah, that is,
exactly.
If someone wants to get rid of a balloon contract beyond 2023, and that's the only way Rob is going to get what he wants. He's going to have to get lucky. He's going to have to get lucky again. He's not, because he's not capable of finagling something. Because number one, almost all the GMs in the NBA can't stand him. Number two, Laker fans can't stand him. Number three, Laker fans can't stand him. And you know, what can he do? Everyone's gonna want to fleece him and fleece.
But the right
Lakers.
Person stands him, and that is Jeannie Buss. So somebody stands.
Well, I don't know
that
how
much
that
better.
Yeah, she's the mirror version of who he is. Weak. they're weak at their positions. The golden armor is what makes the Lakers the Lakers. They're waiting to get lucky, guys. They're waiting for the right luck. And if luck doesn't happen, guess what? Nothing happens, because they're not capable of creating anything, which is the only thing that's scary about this, because I feel like you're now not only going to waste another year of LeBron, you might waste another an epic season by AD. But, hey, you know what? We're looking good right now. We'll try to stay positive and see where this goes.
We'll see where it goes indeed. But once again, it's the Lakers fast break. Lakers with a dominant performance from AD, 55 points, 17 rebounds, 3 block shots. Just a great, great performance by him. The Lakers end up pulling away. You get close, 130 to 119.
There's an old saying, you know, I'm a country boy. I'm from the country. So there's an old saying, no matter how far a highway goes, an old dirt road will take you home. And it's just proving over and over.
I'll take the freeway.
It's just you know, Gerald, it used to be that the new wave of the NBA was take 50 threes a game, get to the line 25 to 30 times. And watching Darvin Ham and AD go old school and decide, yeah, we're just gonna destroy you from the inside out. That's how we're gonna do it. It's cool to see the advent of the old school sort of back with the Lakers. That's something that's nostalgic for me. You know, I loved watching basketball, and you know, I'm a 90s kid, so I watched probably 5 of the greatest 10 centers weekly, and to see what Anthony's doing and to evolve his game from the perimeter in, I mean, if Hakeem Olajuwon had saw his performance tonight, he'd probably jumping up and down saying, yeah,
he's not dead.
That's the way to do it.
He might have seen the tonight's performance.
He's still alive, Sean.
He's still alive. You finally got cable I'm sorry, TV.
Did I say he was? I didn't call, say.
Well, you're speaking to him past tense.
Yeah.
I'm so bad. My mistake. Goodness.
He probably made enough money. He's got satellite TV. Probably good.
You think he can afford Spectrum?
Nobody can afford a Spectrum. Absolutely nobody can afford Spectrum. But there you go. Outside of Joe. But once again, it's the Lakers fast break.
Can't afford Spectrum? Don't they have those $80 a month deals? You guys can't pay $80 a month?
Well, that's why I have Cox.
You know what's funny about that whole subscription thing? Is you have these dolts who are like, hey, we cut the cord. We cut the satellite. You know, we're saving a bunch of money. Then they have like 80 subscriptions to Paramount Plus, Disney Plus, Netflix Plus, Gerald Plus, John Plus, and then they're like $100 anyways. You might as well just stick with the TV.
I heard John Plus is pretty good.
John Plus.
I'm not going to.
Sorry, I meant that. John Negative.
Doesn't exist. Sorry.
We're signaling the ref for a quick timeout, but we'll be back with more of the Lakers Fast Break podcast. Hey, Lakers fans, looking for the best place to go for up-to-date news, information, original videos, articles, podcasts, opinion pieces, and discussions about the Los Angeles Lakers? Well, look no further than LakerHolics.com. With a legion of followers always there talking about everything Lakers and the NBA, there's no better place to go to share your fandom as the team heads toward another championship run. So stop by and be part of the conversation today at LakerHolics.com. One of the things I want to ask before we go is that can this team sustain it? Because the next game is against, it's not an easy one. It's one of Sean's favorite teams. Actually, it's a very good team, and I'm not going to disparage them. Again, a team that has four great starters on that team when they go Tuesday into LeBron's old stomping grounds in Cleveland. And then after that, right after that, another good team in Toronto. So that's a back-to-back. I'm going to start with you, Sean. I mean, what are you looking forward to when you go ahead in these games? I mean, can they make this at least – I'm looking for a split. I'm going to be reasonable. If this is where there's going to be like a falter because it's back-to-back, you might not play LeBron back-to-back. You might not play AD back-to-back. When it comes to it, are you going to go ahead and try to do what you can to sustain it? What do you need to do to sustain the kind of good performances you've had so far in the past two games?
Yeah, you know something, Gerald? I think if you're a fan of defensive basketball, that Cleveland game is going to be one to circle with a red Sharpie. You know, if AD goes off again, it's going to be because he's just on another level, and there's just nothing Evan Mobley, Jared Allen can do about it. I think that's going to be a tall order for him to get a double nickel against that defense. Obviously, we're not going to predict it or anticipate it. They're a feisty bunch. They get after you. You're right. They've got four really good starters. Don't have much of a bench to speak of. That's going to need to be addressed by them if they want to make any noise. But I digress. I'm with you, man. I think there's a split here. I tend to think that the Lakers will win the back end against the Raps and come up a little short against the Cavs. That's just what I'm thinking right now. It could be flipped, but Cleveland plays a brand of defense that is very, very similar to the Bucks. And I think the Lakers really need to bring their hard hat and lunch buckets, because that's the way they play. They play for 48 minutes.
John, I'm just going to say somebody needs to get involved, because Ticketmaster is a monopoly. That's some bad stuff right there. That's happened. That's been going on for decades. They've been doing this stuff. Yeah, but
horrible.
Need I digress on that? We don't want to keep it light and bright here, right here at the Lakers Fast Break. No Ticketmaster comments right now because it just really just gets me started. Because yeah, anybody trying to go ahead and get a ticket for a live event or a concert, that's just the prices are just going outrageous, and a lot of it is because of Ticketmaster. But I will say now, though, for the Lakers, though, man, just keeping the momentum. John, you have a team now that is really riding high, back up to 10-12, now in the conversation. You know, when you go to all these shows, you go to all these podcasts that are not named the Lakers Fast Break, they're all going to, go rave about AD, all the Lakers, watch out for the Lakers, all these other shows that were banning the Lakers from conversation. And you guys all know, and gals all know about that, because you heard all these other national shows says, oh, we don't want to talk about the Lakers. We don't want to talk about the Lakers because they're where they're at. Oh, well, all of a sudden this week, you're going to start hearing them talk about the Lakers again. What can we do, or what do the Lakers need to do to keep this conversation flowing?
They just got to keep playing like they're playing now and not let their guards up. I think if they get too comfortable and, let their guards down and lose to, so obviously not going to win every game, but, if they keep losing to teams like they shouldn't against, like on Monday against Indiana, where they're at 15, like if they lost tonight, we would have had a totally different conversation. We would have been asking, whether or not should we make a trade to help this team. But they just got to be consistent and win more games because, the West is very competitive. There's a lot of good teams, even though, records are, very similar right now. It's still early in the season. But, as the season goes on and chemistry and, players start getting used to playing with each other and start warming up. That's when records are really gonna start to matter, so they just got to keep winning more games.
Absolutely, I agree with you heartily, Joe. I mean, you're the man who got on the side of Laker Tom. Laker Tom was predicting a 5-1 road trip. You were 4-2, very positive. How can they go ahead and keep going? Because again, a very tough back to back starts on Tuesday.
What kind of conversation, a professional show, starts a show with? We're not gonna talk about this team.
Their digits are ESPN, and it's called the Hoop Collective. They actually,
and I got another four-letter word for them.
Windhorse made an effort so far most of the season.
Does it start with F and end with K?
Yeah, but also it's several
like
others,
C and T.
Athletic shows. Okay. There's a whole bunch of shows out there because the Lakers were bad in the earlier part of the season. They made an effort to
what was Wendy saying? Did LeBron blacklist him from the locker room? That's why he's doing this?
Well, because the edict is that the Lakers have to be talked about 100% of the time on these other shows when they're doing well.
Okay.
When they're not doing well, they want to make sure that they cover everyone else and forget the Lakers.
For those who don't understand marketing or common sense, you know why Skip Bayless is famous?
Because he's constantly gone after LeBron since...
That is probably his number one. Because he
always goes against the grain, that's why.
Because he mentions LeBron in a negative light, you get the deadheads who LeBron, why do you hate LeBron? And the other guys too, the ones that agree with him. You see how that works? And he talk that he knows that when he puts something on Twitter, he follows how the activity goes, and then he'll roll with it. Okay, guys, for those of you who are out there listening, if you're going to learn anything about the world, everything's a scam to get your attention. Everything. And the best way to not be scammed is don't get scammed. Don't watch ESPN. Don't listen to Stephen A. Smith. Don't watch Fox with that marbles talking Shannon Sharp and Skip Bayless. Okay. It's
Nick Wright.
That's what keeps them going. If you don't watch these guys and listen to them, you're gonna not have them on TV. And that's as simple as that, guys. But unfortunately, people are moths to the flame. So the Lakers are relevant because they're the Lakers. It doesn't matter if they're losing or winning. Even when the Lakers were losing, the talk was, are they gonna get a top five pick? Are they gonna be a second pick. They're the Lakers. They've already put that peanut butter on the bread. It's over, guys. It's there. Can't get it off the bread anymore. So now that they're winning, what's great about the fact that they're winning from an objective standpoint is you have a 29-year-old phenom who we have never really seen this kind of talent before, except for maybe a handful of times. I mean, let's be honest, guys. This is not.
Well,
this isn't a.
In fairness to what Gerald was saying, in order just to kind of spark a positive conversation out of this, what
they're
it's
all positive.
Going.
Well,
yeah,
what, it cannot help but being positive.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah, no,
I meant
I was talking about your ESPN slant there. No,
the
it's
voice.
Going to it's going to
the
enable,
voice, Sean.
Yeah, it's going to enable, you know, actual NBA
pop culture cosmos
to talk positively about the Lakers.
Inside like, Sports Fantasy Football and Game Source.
Sorry, we keep interrupting.
Five star review.
Let Sean talk, for God's sake.
Wherever you get your podcast.
Yeah. So what the flip side to what Joe said, and by the way, what I agree with a lot of what he said, and a lot of what he said is true. You're going to have it's going to enable actual NBA analysis who know their stuff and do their job well, for example, Tim Legler, to get on ESPN and to basically fawn over Anthony Davis and drool over LeBron and marvel at what they're doing with the last 10 games. Kirk Goldsberry is not going to be able to tweet out that the Lakers can't find any shooting outside of AD and LeBron. So he's going to have to talk positively about them. It just means that, unfortunately, in today's Joe's on with marketing. I'm not a businessman. The three gentlemen I'm joined by are. I'm not by trade. But what Joe was saying about marketing was true. But I was just going to say from just a layman's perspective, I think most people just understand now that for some reason, whatever the du jour topic is that the narrative matters more than the fact. And when the fact becomes too great, then you drop the narrative and move on to something else. So I think it's kind of, you know, one hand washing the other, Gerald, in the sense that it's going to force ESPN and these networks to talk positively about the Lakers. But at the same time, like you were saying, somebody like Brian Windhorst faces a conundrum now because he said he wasn't going to talk about them when they were in the doldrums. So now you're not going to talk about them when they're playing like one of the five best teams in the NBA.
He had to do an episode on Monday, and it sounded like somebody actually had to, you know, drag him
Worth
into
him.
Doing it.
It's
yeah.
a petulant yeah. child response, and some, and we have a lot of petulant children.
And it's not just him; it's also other.
It's society
like
in general. It's society
it's
in general.
Him.
It's yeah. society in general. It's hilarious when you watch someone acting like a petulant child degrade another petulant child. They don't even realize they're doing the same thing. How about we do this? How about we comment? This is the great thing about sports, especially when it comes to the NBA, NHL, Major League Baseball, because there's a game every day or every other day. Talk about what happened. Okay. Now, if there's a week where a team stinks, then you can kind of bunch in what happened that week. But if they're also winning that week, then you can bunch in that as well. You want to keep it fluid. You want to tell the audience what's happening. That's the whole point of being a good broadcaster. Tell us what's happening. We don't want to hear about your feelings on how you don't want to talk about something because you don't feel like it. It has nothing to do with you. When you're yeah. doing this kind of job, it matters what the audience wants to hear. Okay? Absolutely. It matters what the audience wants to hear. The audience wants to hear Laker talk or Yankee talk or Cowboy talk. Guess what? You form your show on that. Now, we're in a different situation than, let's say, the All World Sports Channel or whatever. We're a Laker talk show. So it might be a little easier for us to – matter of fact, it's harder for us because we're stuck on one subject. So if the Lakers stink for what they did for, what, 3 months last year and in the first month here, we were kind of stuck. Like, you got to really – you got to really have some talent.
It was like a season long thing.
Yeah. You got to really have your talent. You got to really have talent to keep your audience engaged. Otherwise, I felt like after a while, I'm just like, Lakers suck. What else? What else can we talk about?
Somebody, did you propose to me, renaming our show Lakers Suck Break?
There's some weird things you hear.
Lakers season long break.
I'm kidding.
Are you sure you don't need a new mic, a new headset?
No, this one's been working fine.
I'll buy you one if it helps.
No, that's okay. This one's sure? All good, my friend.
I'm sure I can afford one.
I will say,
I know you guys don't want to spend that $80 a month on DirecTV, you know, because it might break your bank.
Okay. No, that's just who was that? No, actually, I'm sorry.
How do you guys watch TV when you don't have that? Like, do you actually have to go?
That's almost $1,000 a year.
I watch my share of TV.
I want to go watch the Laker game. What the hell?
I watch my share.
Is that how you watch your games, Joe?
I think
I cover pop culture.
You know how I turn on the game? Like this.
That's how a remote works, Joe.
It's beautiful. Just, there's a button I even put on my little Harmony. It has the Time Warner favorite. I don't even need
it's
to
called
turn
a button,
on,
Joe.
I don't even need to do the on and off button. I just go to the Time Warner button. That's how
that's
I roll.
Special.
That's how I roll.
That's very special indeed.
You know what I mean? I roll. You guys are jealous? Are you jealous? What, John? Are you jealous? I'm looking right at you.
No, you're not.
if it hasn't done,
I can arrange it here on the. There you go. Now you're looking. Now you can look right at him right here.
I got something better, remote Joe. I got a phone.
Okay. Now you can look right at him.
Before
I got to look this way. Look at Joe.
You're like.
Yeah, but before you lead us out the door here, Gerald, I just wanted to leave the Lakers fast break with one. One final thought, and I'm not Jerry Springer.
Thank God.
Or Jerry.
Watch out for the chair.
It's not just the fact that it's a roster talent issue, and it's not the fact that right now you might be in the depths of wasting another LeBron year and maybe a one-of-a-kind Anthony Davis type year. It's the fact that for 22 games right now, they've forged an identity, and one of the characteristics of their identity is they fight. They fight. This isn't like last year's team, where if they were down by 15 to 20 points in the middle of the second quarter, a lot of them would just phone it in, try and get their stats up and head out the door. These guys fight for one another and they fight for their coach. If Pelinka can't see that and understand that by bringing guys in, like John said it the other day, it that kind of level of play, that intensity, that hustle, it's contagious. So if you bring guys into the mix who already have that DNA, just seems to me you could be watching a rocket take off, but you might just want to just let this just sit in the atmosphere and not take it off. Like that makes no sense to me. I think if anything, this 8-2 run has proven to Pelinka that he needs to make a trade.
I agree with you. It proves right now that the Lakers, if they add just a couple of ingredients, I really think it's going to make them a team that can be competitive right now at the higher end of the Western Conference, even much more than any one of our expectations, because we did not have the greatest expectations going in because of the fact that the supporting cast was on paper looking so bad. Mm-hmm. John, I mean, any last thoughts on the team before we head on out?
Go Lakers.
That's very in depth, my friend. Awesome. Truly appreciate that.
That's all we need at this point.
Yeah, absolutely. Continuing to go ahead.
Go where?
What?
Go where? We need go Lakers.
When Laker Tom says it, you don't say go where.
Tom's 76. What am I going to do? Yell at a 76-year-old man?
He's 79.
I wouldn't put a pass. <I'm just kidding. laughs> He's 76.
What's so funny?
Well, everything. Yeah, but once again, it's the
being Lakers. Serious.
once again, it's the Lakers.
On this note,
yes, truly appreciate everyone out there watching, listening. A great crowd tonight. Just really, you know, really strong numbers. Thanks so much for watching us. Truly appreciate it. If you get a chance, please go ahead and check out what we're doing at John McCallion, right there for you on his YouTube. Go ahead and subscribe today. Like both our videos and his videos. Big thumbs up for each of us. And also subscribe. Please go ahead and subscribe so you can get the latest notifications on not only when he goes live on the air, but when we go live on the air with our great shows. Joe, before we head on out, what's your schedule like this week? Because you know the Lakers, obviously on Tuesday, we're going to be going ahead with our live watch party coming up. That's going to be, I think, at 4:30 our time in the West Coast. Then after that, of course, the post game. Toronto the next night, 4:30 the next night, post game. Are you up for an NBA observations tomorrow, or do you want to wait until Thursday on that one?
I got to be honest, G. I'm getting busier by the week. And
you said you're doing well. Business,
yeah, the opening year will be even busier.
Okay.
It's easy for me to do post stuff, but during the games, I need a little more fluidity. I love being on playback. I just don't know how I can manage 5 to 6 hours in a row doing commentary. But I have to play each day by ear.
Okay, because I wanted to discuss the MVP conversation.
I'll tell you what, I probably should be good to do observation tomorrow evening.
Okay. Sean, John, hopefully you guys can join us as well. We can schedule out something tomorrow evening to discuss the MVP rankings as far as where do you rank who, where, and why, because I think that's something we should approach starting right now because it's a quarter of the way in the season. Sounds like something maybe you guys could do?
I'll double-check, Joe, but I should be free.
Okay, fair enough. John, at least
I'm not free, though. You're going to have to pay me.
Okay, well, there you go. John?
We'll pay you with a bunch of challenges.
There you go. Well, he said it wasn't very much for him. He said he handled it like no weak problem.
That was weak.
Okay. Okay. Then you got the wings challenge maybe coming up as well.
That one will be hot. Because you can't right drink anything.
You know what? Z, you're truly incredible. Still downloading our podcast versions aside from hitting the like buttons. Everyone in their chat, the world's best Lakers chat. I truly appreciate it.
John and Joe are slowly turning into the Statler and what was the other guy's name?
Well, they're the odd couple.
Yeah, Statler the odd couple and the Waldorf. Basketball. The two puppets up in the mezzanine who just make fun of everybody, including themselves.
Yep, those guys had all the fun. Yes, they did indeed. But once again, it's the Lakers fast break. Also, you guys got to let me know when we want to do the next Lakers History 101 on the Kobe Vlade trade. That's something I definitely want to talk about because I know that was brought up by one of our great people that's insiders, Nick Medina. He wanted to go ahead and have us talk about that. So we will talk about that on the next Lakers History 101 when we can go ahead and schedule that.
That's funny, petting my cat. So yep. Petting my cat says, if the Lakers win 50, I sell my business.
I don't think so. No, I don't.
Which business?
Yes. Your only fans account.
Where's the tears at John, says Sovereign. So there you go. Okay.
Now, Richard brought a politics question mark. Let's talk politics.
No, let's not talk politics. This is not...
We have to give the audience what they want.
No, let's not talk politics. Z, you know what? You did come for listening from the podcast, so keeping at it, I truly appreciate all your support. You're one of our biggest supporters. Everyone
all of them.
All of them. Truly appreciate all the support everyone in the chat room, everyone out there listening and watching gives us. And Joe, as Joe mocks my hand movements, but once again, it's the Lakers.
Are you sure you're not half Italian?
No.
Always talking with your hands?
No. I'd like to be, but then if I was, I'd probably be even heavier, but I don't want to do that. It's the Lakers fast break.
Way to close out the show.
If you have any questions for us, I'm trying to, but Joe, you know, look what he's doing. At Lakers Fast Break on Twitter, LakersFastBreak@yahoo.com. Plus, also as well, you can leave comments. We do get back to them on YouTube. And, of course, LakerHolics.com, LakersBall.com, and, of course, for Joe, Simblades with a Y.com. John McCallion's YouTube channel. Are you going on live tonight?
Not tonight, but maybe tomorrow.
Okay. Well, there you go.
Shucks.
Well, hopefully you can at least enter your thoughts on the MVP race as well tomorrow night when we do NBA observations. Looking for a good conversation then. But once again, the Lakers do end up really with a comfortable victory, 130 to 119. And we'll be back definitely as far as from the standpoint of a live watch party on Tuesday starting at 4:30. And then after that, of course, it's all of us right here at the Lakers Fast Break Podcast. Have a great evening, everyone. Appreciate it. Have a good week. Joe, what are you doing?